From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rob Cairns. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. In this podcast, I talk to Birgit Polyhack, and we talk all things WordPress 6.5 and beyond. Grab a drink. Enjoy the show. This podcast is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency that can help protect your WordPress website today. Go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and see what we can do to help you protect your business investment. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey, everybody, Rob Cairns here. And in today's podcast, I have my good and dear friend, Birgit Polyhack from Automattic with me. How are you today?
Hey, Rob. I'm good. Thank you so much for inviting me and having me on your show again.
I think this is the third or the fourth time. And I just love sitting down and talking to you because you understand working at Automattic, the WordPress ecosystem, more than a lot of people. And you care about the community, and that is really important in today's day and age.
Well, thank you. Yeah, well, I started in the community when I was an agency owner. So, and I started Gutenberg Times 6 years ago.
Yep. Oh, wow.
And it's been.
And if you want to learn more about blocks in Gutenberg, Gutenberg Times is the place to go. There is no question. It's on my weekly read. I think the newsletter comes out Sunday now, right? Or Saturday, I can't.
Yes. Well, with the time zone, it's probably Saturday still in the U.S. or at East Coast U.S. when I kind of put it together. Sometimes it comes out on Sunday. Yeah, depending how my weekend goes.
Yeah, time zones, what are they? Isn't that a unique problem to all these digital nomads who all work online having to deal with this? You know, you and I were having this problem. We're trying to set up or reschedule this call, and it's here's the time UTC, and I'm in the Google saying, give me what the time zone is in Eastern, and you're like, are you sure? And I'm like,
oh, it's exaggerated by the daylight savings time changes that is different in the United States on a different day than in Europe. So there is this whole 2 weeks, where I don't know if I'm in the right meeting, when I go online. So it's the time of pickup meetings that, oh, I'm late for my meeting, but what meeting is this about? Kind of thing. Yeah. So it's an interesting time. Time zones are the bane of my existence.
I'm almost to the point of view, I think we need to abolish daylight savings time and all these time changes and just leave them alone. And, you know, they were originally done for farmers back in the day, but all these farmers have lights and all kinds of stuff now. So the reasons are less and less to do it as far as I'm concerned. So I think it's time to move on from that.
Lots
has gone on in the WordPress space, as always. We just had a release, so we were going to talk a little bit about 6.5. I was saying to you before we went to record, I think the release team did the right thing in holding this release back. And I think what they did very well was they communicated to the community why. And I think one of the things that has lacked in past releases, and I think it gets lost in the shuffle, is that communication to the community. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're totally right. Yeah, the communication discussions are public now. Yeah, the release lead channel is public on the WMake Slack. And but not everybody can read through this or be on core Slack. So having a summary on the discussions on the Make blog is definitely helpful for anybody who is interested in what the release is about, and also have to kind of time their changes and the hosting changes and with their clients, and knowing why things happen is so critical to support any of those changes. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good people out there. Our mutual friend and your colleague, Anne McCarthy, puts out a WordPress truth document that to me is the most comprehensive document out there of what goes on in a release. So I'm on that list. I don't even wait for it to show up in blogs like yours. I've already seen it by then usually. So mm-hmm. That to me is invaluable from Anne. There's people like Courtney Robertson up at GoDaddy, who's a colleague of mine. And Courtney writes typically really detailed, this is what's coming up documents. There's a couple other people. I think those are all part of this whole PR cycle, if you want to call it right, or information cycle is a better word for it.
Yeah, it's a news cycle. And I think the Source of Truth by Anne McCarthy is definitely supporting anybody who wants to write about things and who's in the news or wants to inform their clients about things. But it's the fire hose. So sometimes you have to decide as a user or as an agency owner, how deep you actually want to go. But if you have any doubt about any of those, Courtney Robertson was one. Leonardo Ngrudu from Hostinger has always a great summary of what's in the new release, as does Carlos Daniel from Kinsta. They all really dive into the notes and all the and for their clients. Yeah, so it's very strict on target audiences. Yeah, who is that important for? Anne supports that through the tagging on the Source of Truth. So but it's a fire hose. It's about 10,000. It's a book pretty much. Yeah, it was 10,000 words this time.
It's almost turning into a mini journal. It really is. And kudos to Anne for doing that. I know how much work she spends on doing it. It's a big deal. So it's appreciated. Yeah. 6.5. Yeah, it's some changes. The biggest changes, I'm not going to get so much into what causes a delay because, we all know it was technical. You can go read it. But the big thing in 6.5 still is this whole bringing fonts back into WordPress. And I think the reason we're doing this is a lot because of GDPR compliance in Europe. I mean, and we're seeing more and more privacy-based rules that are governing how we do our business. What do you think about that?
I would agree with that. Yeah, the Google fonts that are sometimes embedded into themes, can we switch them off? Yeah, sometimes a theme user doesn't have the choice or doesn't know how to do it. And with the font library, there is independence for users to get beyond what the theme is offering as fonts. You can also download from other foundries. Yeah, it doesn't have to be Google. It can be from other open source ones that don't track who's doing what. And also have some exciting other fonts on your site that you can enable without going into the theme to on code base to get them on your site. So I think that's a real good. It opens up the freedom for the designers as well as for the site owners. It was really a good thing, but it took a while. I think it was the first slated to get into WordPress at 6.3, and then it was bumped to 6.4, and then it was bumped to 6.5. So having another delay on the font library, thank God it was only a week, but it was kind of a little bit of a hot stopper.
Just a little bit. And I think what I would caution any other designer is before you start playing with all these fonts, and it's so wonderful that we have the flexibility, as people say, it's doing WordPress your way, right? We all talk about that in the community, which is what makes WordPress special. But what I would say is if you're going to start playing with fonts, think really hard, does these fonts add to the user experience? And sometimes all these nice scripted fancy Google fonts actually detract from that experience. So I think as a designer, you got to be really careful about how you do it and why.
Yeah. And designers normally know that. Yeah. It's more like the ones that are just passionate designers kind of want to change their site and kind of play around with things, as you say. Yeah, they get carried away, but that's part of creativity, to kind of go all in and then kind of scale it back to something normal. But it's but I think there is also some so what I like is Mary Baum has a series on the developer blog about fonts. Yeah, and so people like me who hasn't had a design education can read up about what are those technical terms, but also what does it do to my to my text when I'm when I'm using certain fonts. Are these accessible? Are there something that dyslexic person can read better or something like that, to have a little bit more education. And the series is, I think, in part two, but there's 4, 5, and 6 coming. So I'm stay tuned on the developer blog, especially about fonts and about the design of fonts.
And when you're working around fonts, please think about accessibility too. That's a big issue, right? It's like,
absolutely.
There are people who don't read right or are challenged, and accessibility just doesn't mean I can't read it. It means you're having problems accessing it for a number of reasons. So it's more than just being partially sighted or not. We have to think about that really hard, actually.
Yeah, and accessibility most of the time is also temporary accessibility. So if you're sick, or if you're you hurt yourself on the arm, all of a sudden you are one armed. Kind of, that's one of the things. But I also find that when I read a text online that is in all caps, I don't have the help of the different size of letters to kind of guide me along what this word is meaning. So my brain has to read every single letter to put together the sentence. So all caps by definition is actually something out of the 19th century, when we only have typewriters and couldn't do any bolding or couldn't do any italics. So, and that's even the basic of it. Yeah. And then when you have 15 fonts on your website, it kind of needs to have a hierarchy and a kind of a calmness to it. So the reading pleasure is not interrupted. Yeah. You're totally right, Rob.
Yeah. Besides the fonts, what else attracts you to 6.5? What else do you see compelling in there?
Well, I definitely are really excited about the revisions that are are available now for style changes, template changes, and template part changes. It also is a modern view on what revisions can be. So I'm also that's actually looking forward into what post revisions will be once they understand blocks. But this one is really a great, and the team did a fair amount of iterating on it through the Gutenberg plugin. Now you can have a summary of what the changes were in the right hand side in the sidebar. It's a little bit hidden. But if you go to the style editor and then go on the right-hand side, there are three icons on top, and one of them is like a clock or so. Those are your revisions, and you can see what has changed and how often it has changed, and when it was. Yeah, and it's, and you click on the revision that you see, and then you can say, okay, there's an apply button, and then you click on it, and then it will revert to that particular change. If you say, well, we all get carried away, right, when we try to do our theme and play around with colors, play around with styles, and test all things out, then all of a sudden we are kind of, oh yeah, this is taking it too far. Can we go back to certain things? And that was pretty much the reason why we got the revisions in there. In 6.4, it was a rudimentary version of it, and now for 6.4, if it's really a polished one and very robust.
I actually was using the revisions tool yesterday, to be fair. I had gone into a page I was working on my own site. Yeah, so I'm as guilty of it as the rest of you. And I took a page too far, and I looked in and said, oh, my God. It was like, no. And I went and I backed up. And I'll tell you, it's really easy to do. So it saves the old days where you would take a backup, restore a backup. You know that game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's and now that the site editor is actually your styling tool for a theme, yeah, you need all the tools in there. Yeah. Yeah.
So
a lot
of changes going on for the better, I think.
Yeah. I like that the drop shadows are now available for some of the other blocks. It was available for through the theme JSON file for designers quite since 6.4 and for buttons, but now it's also available for columns, the single column and the image as well. So it's now so now you can also add it to an image on your blog or a gallery with a list of images. To have a little, and it adds another dimension to your site. It has some kind of a 3D impression there. So I like that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
How about you?
They are the big things for me. I mean, I think for me, the fonts and the revisions for me were actually the real biggest things as a creative who spends lots of time in the WordPress dashboard. The revisions was like a win-win-win, so I'm quite happy. I know we've talked about it before. I've talked about it with Anne. Is there any changes to the media library coming down the road? Do you know if that's coming soon or where that's at?
Soon is such a relative term. It's coming, yeah, and I know that contributors and developers are really discussing that, and there is a kind of a certain vision now kind of forming amongst the team. Soon, I don't know. Yeah, but there is the media committers, maintainers. They meet quite often and kind of try to put the new admin design and the media to come together. But it's a huge revision part. Yeah, it's much bigger than the block editor, actually. So I think it will still need some time. All good things need time. And the media library definitely needs some time. Yeah. What is in a very good shape, if you look at the data views, the list views in the site editor, yeah, those are a good indicator how they're coming along. With the admin design on those lists, yeah, to have the grid layouts and for the templates and for the pages, grid layout and page layouts and all that, how that flows in the site editor is something that is tested to maybe come into the admin section further down the road. Probably not this year, but yeah, certainly next year at one point or the other. But it's definitely something to figure out because now they built the components that then also will be used for extenders. So those who build plugins, those who build themes, they can use those components as well and don't have to make decisions about that because those are already available. Yeah? And they expand in terms of what are the bulk actions on. So if you look at posts in a list, you can select a certain post and then you bulk edit them. You could either trash them.
I love that feature. Love that feature.
Or you can change the kind of categories on that. And so each of those list views will have a different bulk action set depending on what kind of post type it is, be it a template part, be it a template or page, or style, these kind of things. Yeah. So, and that is a reimagining the admin section. And I think it's a good thing that's all in the site editor, combined, but also enclosed without bleeding into other places on WordPress.
And then there's, of course, there's the whole issue about, I know there's been talk about changing UX on the back end a little bit down the road. There's some discussion around that. And of course, the biggest one is collaboration when you're doing editing, right? That's coming soon. And again, soon is relative because I think with collaboration, the challenges are, what do you do on some of these lesser hosting plans that don't have resources? I mean, that's going to be an issue. Yeah. And I think collaboration fits really well in an enterprise environment, not so much a small business environment, personally.
Yeah, I think the prior priorities for that have shifted a little bit. It's more like now the admin section, the design of admin and the media library, but it's also the data liberation kind of thing, the export and import. Yeah, there's a little bit, the focus shifted a bit since the State of the Word in from December in Madrid, where Matt Mullenweg announced the data liberation project that people can easily migrate from, or that's the goal for it, is migrate from a WordPress site to another WordPress site, or from an external content management system into WordPress, or from WordPress into some other system. And I think that has shifted a little bit the focus. But I also see that the extensibility of the block editor. And when we look at 6.5, there are three additional APIs that are very, very important for plugin developers and theme developers. Yeah. And they have been received very well by the community. So I'm speaking about the block bindings API, which connects custom fields to blocks, and so you can read them out and in and out of it. Then there is the block hooks API, which allows you to, or the developer, to add a block underneath another block. Yeah, like if you want to have a like button on the title or the headline of a block, then you can get a like button in there. Or you could add another link somewhere, like an anchor link on a paragraph. Yeah. And I know that a lot of plugin developers have been waiting for those APIs to extend the block editor without having to create custom blocks. I think that was the big part of it, was that for every little thing, every little meta field, there was a need to create another custom block. And with the blocks binding API, some of it falls away because it's now built into core, and it only needs some styling. And it can even be, there's even a little interface there for the editor. Then when it's hooked up to a meta field, you see it. And then the third API is just at the beginning of what WordPress developers can do with it, is the interactivity API. That is making WordPress react more like a single page application that you see out there, or you don't have to have all those reloads of pages when you just filter down on certain things. And there's some quite some interesting examples out there. Sure, those are not very interesting to the site builders that are just using WordPress to build sites for others. But if you are a developer, those really help you with creating great site experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. And like with the site builders, they're pretty well locked in their processes. So they're the ones, as you know, we have a tough time with a lot of them, not all of them, convincing them that blocks is the way to go, right? Because they're locked into their page builders, it's a process thing. They've got it down. And frankly, they don't have the time to invest in learning something new. Foolish guys like me who, as you know, we talked about this with you, I and Matthias, where I took a live site and did it over 4 months, right? As an experiment.
People who have their processes down, there is no reason for them to change. It's kind of, unless there is a really something really replacing that they can do it faster, or they can do it with less effort. But less effort, some of them are actually paid by the hour. So less effort also means less money, unless they raise their prices. There's a lot of interconnected there. But I feel that if you have your process down, you also have your tools geared towards those, like your template libraries, or the code snippets that you have for certain things that you always need to fix because it needs to be fixed, why change it if there isn't a need for it, and just because chasing the shiny new object, Gutenberg is now 6 years old, 7 years old, and the other things are still working just like they were 7 years ago. It's definitely a personal decision. It's a business decision on how to handle WordPress for themselves.
I know this isn't your area of expertise, but it would be hard getting through a discussion like this without hitting on security for a moment, because we know, I don't know if you saw last week, Search Engine Journal basically had the nerve to write a clickbaity article. So nice of an SEO company to write a clickbaity article. Basically saying WordPress has problems because of all these security vulnerabilities. And I would argue, as somebody who plays in that space in a major way, that no, they don't have a problem. What we're doing is we're disclosing stuff and we're patching it. Where we have a problem is when plugins get abandoned, don't get fixed. That's a different story. And the reason I use that argument is in the Windows world, Microsoft patches security fixes every month on the first Tuesday of every month. It's well known. We on WordPress take care of ourselves. The big vendors take care of things. Security is based on all who we trust, not some SEO company saying we have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know that the WordPress security team is really on top of things, and they have there's a bounty program there, and I don't know, they don't disclose things, which is maybe one of the most rumor building thing if you don't disclose things, but it's also for security. You cannot disclose a security vulnerability, even if there is one, to warn people unless it's fixed. There is what happened was that there was there's a security company out there who discloses vulnerabilities before they are fixed, and then everybody scrambles, because as soon as it's disclosed, hackers get on it. And within a few hours, they probably hijack that. But I think the outreach from the community and from the security team to those who disclosed it prior to a fix actually have made some inroads there, and that is kind of really has stopped now. It's something that has been around for, I don't know, I'm in the space for 15 years now, in WordPress space. 15 years? No, almost. 10 years, and I always hear it's security, and I know I had in the early 2015, 2016, I had a few sites that were hacked, but it was on me. It was a non-updated plugin, that kind of got that had security vulnerabilities, and the update wasn't applied. That's certainly one. And then it was unsecure passwords. admin password. That's 99%
and that
of
is
that.
Never and that has never changed with passwords, Birgit. No. I mean, no. It's, you know,
no.
I hate to tell you, there's a reason the word password or 1234 are like on the top of the password hate list. And every year you look at what the passwords are that people shouldn't be using, and those two are right at the top of the list. So people
right, and yeah, and you get the 1234567, and then the next year it's more secure because it's 1234567 8.
Now yeah, you're making me laugh again.
We make fun of it, but it's definitely something that a lot of users just don't understand, and I don't blame them. Yeah. But it's certainly something that their hosting companies or their developers or whoever is helping them with their website is definitely something that needs to be looked at and help them with it to understand. There are passwordless situations out there. There's two-factor authentication out there. And I think those two help quite a bit with the password problem and getting people assigned to the site.
I agree.
So
what I'll tell you is right now I'm managing from a security perspective and an update perspective about 300 websites. And we've talked about this before, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm always amazed about that number.
Yeah, and all I do on these websites, truthfully, is keep them current, make sure there's backups run that aren't hosting backups that are good, and make sure I don't have any security issues. And what I'll tell you is when I did the update to the latest version of WordPress, I didn't have one problem, not one this time around. And
that's good.
Now, what I also did this time, because of all the concern with this release, usually I'm a release comes out on Tuesday, so I jump on the release on Tuesday. I waited till Friday this time. So I didn't have any issues. So people saying they're seeing big issues. I know there's some small ones out there. But saying they're having big issues, I don't think there's any big issues out there personally.
I haven't heard anything, but I also might not be tuned in well enough for this release. It was the first release that I wasn't on the release team for the last the five releases before that. I was part of the release team, and of course I was tuned in quite extensively. But yeah, as long as I don't think the support team has any big issues. I think there were some CSS issues. There were some styling class names changes that tripped some people up. But yeah, a theme developer can fix them so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's really not an issue.
Yeah. I didn't hear anything really big, which is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, what else is in 6.5? So I really like the design tools that are there. Now, the classic themes can have some of the appearance tool, the design tools that are available to block themes, now also available to classic themes. And that is really, and can enable them with one command in their functions, PHP or through the theme JSON file. I also like that we have more freedom on using background images in a group block, where you can tile them, where you can have a certain aspect ratio, and that is really helpful when you build a website and want to do something special with a background image on a group block. Also, drag and drop has been really amazing how that's progressing, especially in the list view. Yeah, when you can, it's hard on the canvas sometimes to get into one of those container blocks, but when you do them in the list view, it's so much easier to drag and drop them to a different group or a different column.
No question. Anybody not using the list view should learn it like yesterday, because I work with the list view open all the time, and there's the drag and drop is getting, it's not all the way there, but it's getting better, and it's making it easier. So we'll get there.
But it's it's the small quality of life changes. Actually, when you're a content producer and you do content over and over again, those things really add up in how you feel about your tools.
I agree. I can't remember off the top of my head, and I don't know if you remember off your top of your head. What's the release date for 6.6? Do you know off, Birgit?
I know that the beta is in June, so we're 2 months out. June 4th, I think, is the beta first. So, and then you can see 6 weeks afterwards. So it's about July 18th is 6.6. Okay. It's a very short cycle. It's not as short as 6.4 was. Mm-hmm. But it's only a two month window to get new features in and into the beta one, and then 6.7 is released in November, mid November, Thanksgiving holiday.
And that's really important. I think this is where people listen to the devs. We all screamed about December releases. You remember those days, the first week of December? And I'm working at an e-commerce site in the middle of the Christmas rush saying, I don't want to push update on this site.
No, and you didn't have to. So, that's true.
So yeah. I think having the last release of the year in November is a much better approach than going December, personally.
Yeah, me too. It's not only the Thanksgiving holiday. It's kind of December is so much distractions from, apart from the e-commerce part, but the personal lives, are kind of really gearing up for Christmas, for those who celebrate it, or for the end of the year. There's a lot of things that in businesses, you have end of year tech stuff. It's just so much nicer to be done with that major release cycle by mid-November, and then go into the holidays, into the new year, and wait for March or April for the next one. I'd really like that.
Is this the year where WordPress goes over 50% in the internet?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think we're going to sit around that 45-46%?
It's gonna go up, but it's not gonna go over 50% there. So there's so much other things to do. And it's sitting around that for about four years now. So why would 6 months be different?
I think coming out of the pandemic, it's kind of flatlined a little bit. I don't think people are doing as much on the web. They're getting back to a bit of a normal life, to going out and doing things. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the pandemic really pushed things. We saw the dip in 21 and 22, not a whole lot of new sites. You must have seen that in your business, that there are not as many new customers come in, or new sites are being built.
Oh, I don't know about that. I have retail customers. They were all going e-commerce. So I saw a different shift. And it's funny when you look at e-commerce. I'll share this with you because it's personal. There are certain things that don't do well online. Clothes is a tough buy online. You know that. Eyeglasses. I just bought my first pair of eyeglasses from an online retailer. And according to my ophthalmologist, only 15% of the people buy eyeglasses online. Interesting, eh?
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting,
So there's some markets, but we're seeing shifts again. It's real funny.
I had this in Munich, and probably in every big metropolitan city, there are these farmers market where you can your weekly markets, and that's how you do business for the last 100 years, right? It hasn't changed. You go to a stand, and then you talk with the people and let them tell you what they have and where it come from, and then during the payment process you have a little chat. So what's the family doing? So it's kind of a lot more interaction, but it's just food. It's kind of, well, for me, our farmers market is all about food. That's something I probably wouldn't buy online. We did it a few times during the pandemic that we had the grocery store kind of deliver to us. But it's part of the experience is kind of looking at things and talking to people. And
I agree. We have them here too. And our local one opens up May 1st. They actually shut the main street down where I am on Saturday mornings for 4 hours. And I like to walk over there every Saturday because it's fun, right?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's fun.
And in small towns, farmers markets in Canada are a big deal because that's all they're social to. They go have coffee, they go buy. My partner's father is 86 years old, and he goes to the food mart in his end of the city every Saturday. And every Saturday we look at him and say, what did you come home with? And every Saturday he looks at us and says, nothing. And we just grin and smile because that means there's a bag of something somewhere. You know,
you can also come home with a few more stories, especially when you know the people for many, many years or decades. Yeah. So, you're all up in. 6.6, I just pulled it up. The release date is July 16th. I wasn't so far off. I said 18th, but that wasn't
right after WordCamp Canada, for those who care.
Right. And beta one is June 4th. Yeah, I think that I remembered well. Yeah. So it's 2 months. Today is, it's going to be really interesting.
It is. Birgit, thank you so much for this, as always. Yeah,
you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for having me. And
such a pleasure. And I'm glad to have you back. We'll get you back. I think next time I got to drag you back with that Gutenberg guy. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's on sabbatical.
Him too. I knew that too. Isn't it funny how Matt and Matthias are both gone at the same time?
Who did that?
I think there was some collusion on that one. I don't know.
I hope you're well, and thank you so much for having me. And if your listeners are interested in what's coming up for 6.6, Anne McCarthy is holding a hallway hangout on April 24th. At 2300 UTC minus 5 is 1600.
Yeah.
So 4 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Pacific. So save the date. And the Zoom link is going to be shared in the core WordPress Slack. So, and it's also an invitation is on core. Make Slack.
And then the other thing I'll tell you is if you want to learn more about WordPress releases or the future of WordPress, Nick Diego, also of Automattic now, Nick is speaking at WordCamp Canada in July. So if you're local to the Ottawa area, come on out, hear Nick talk, and meet some people.
Yeah, it's going to be real cool.
And take a few stories home. That's the best part.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks, Birgit. Have an awesome day.
Thanks, Rob. You too. Bye-bye.
This show is brought to you by stunningdigitalmarketing.com, your Toronto leader in digital marketing services. Not only do we protect your WordPress website, we can help you with your site, provide social media management for your business, or even do one-on-one consulting. To find out more, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Thanks to Birgit for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show. Hey, everybody, Rob here again. Thanks for listening to the SDM Show. It's such a pleasure to have you every week. If you want more on our agency website, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. We are your WordPress security experts. We'd be glad to help you out. If you want to learn more about me, Rob Cairns, go to meetrobcairns.online. From there, you can find links to everything I do on the web, as well as book time with me. So feel free.
If you want to make comments about this podcast or know a guest possibly suitable for the podcast, please email us at podcast@stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Or conversely, you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and tweet at me at Rob Cairns. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much, and I love you. Please join us next week for another interesting podcast, and have a great week, everybody. Bye for now.